morning. Good morning, good morning. Today is Friday, September the 7th. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Are you ready for the weekend?
You know, I think I will be.
You kind of look you kind of look like you're wearing your 50s, 60s, 70s apparel there.
50s, 60s, 70s?
Yeah. Blue jeans, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tennies, right?
Well, they're not quite a tenny,
but open
yeah.
collar shirt, right?
You know, it's Friday.
It's a little American Graffiti-esque, if you will.
Boy, you know, that was one of my movies.
Yeah, it was me. What do they call it now? Little Ronnie Howard? It's like,
yeah,
no, little it was
Ronnie
Ron Howard. Knock
yeah.
it off.
You're yeah.
All right, from our book, Why Do They Say That? Where did we go here? There we go. Batman. Why is an army officer's soldier servant called a Batman?
I do not know.
Because originally it was a soldier's... Boy, I just love Sally and the Seashore, too. Because originally it was the soldier servant's duty to look after the pack horses. And the French word for a pack saddle is bat.
I did not know
there
that.
There we go.
I will
yeah,
remember
take
that for another 30 minutes or so.
Oh, really? That long? All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a double just because. Mm-hmm. Why does a person who avoids the issue, why are they beating about the bush? That's probably a little bit more germane to your day-to-day.
Yeah, I don't know the origin of that saying.
All right. In many forms of hunting, it's necessary in order to find the game to follow it into the underbrush.
Sure.
Beating the brush or beating the bushes and making a den to scare the animals out. A person afraid of the animals lurking in there will beat about the bush, pretending to go in and find and kill the beast, but not actually doing so.
Okay.
Ah, now that one you might stick, huh?
That will.
Oh, there's a bunch of different things that are going on now. Before we get into those topic areas, you're spending a little bit of time, a little bit of effort on the roads. There was a discussion last month about realigning, changing the alignment, however you want to say it, screwing up the street is another way to say it, on H.
H and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First, status of the road itself. H looks like the project is done, is it?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. I Street, when is it penciled in?
I believe for next year.
Same treatment as
yeah,
what, 6th
yeah.
and
yeah, real
H
similar.
Of? Why not take it to the ends or to the edges?
You know, it's...
Is it that much more expensive?
It's enough more expensive, and the, say particularly like on 6th Street, the non... call it the parking lane, was in good condition. So it's a matter of trying to stretch those road dollars as far as you can.
Would it make sense just a quick oil overlay? Just
kind of over the whole, at least over that side. You know, it would certainly then make it look better.
Kind of gives a little bit more substance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or fill in the cracks at least.
Fill in some cracks, help seal it. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure our engineering staff kind of looked at those options in terms of kind of those amount of dollars into it and kind of chose to do it the way they did. It seems like it's working well, but yeah. And obviously the lines have already been painted
yeah,
in and everything else.
Timing so. Would be an issue
yes.
at this point. Yeah.
Yes.
So I is going to get it, or the main drag coming back yeah. into the downtown. There was a discussion about taking it possibly to a two-lane instead of a three-lane.
Right.
I would imagine bike lanes would be involved, or
right.
that a couple years ago there was thoughts about putting islands in the center of the street and sticking trees in them, maintenance and all
right.
that kind
and that,
of stuff also.
Yeah, they did. Council did not approve any option that revolved around median islands.
What about the bike lanes? Are those coming?
Well, kind of what council approved a couple meetings ago was for staff to apply for a highway safety improvement grant also known as HSIP.
Okay.
It's for local transportation networks. says highway. Don't let that throw you. And there's three options that were essentially on the table at the time, you know, the option that council approved applying for the grant, and certainly from our staff perspective, feel that we're in pretty good position in terms of that grant. Did create bike lanes. It created kind of bulb outs at crosswalks, and
kind of like what
from,
Wabash has.
Yeah, I think similar to that. And then, you know, in a sense, then going from three lanes to two lanes as part of that process. And we had some kind of vigorous public debate at the council meeting. But at the end, you know, council approved going with that option with the idea that it wasn't, certainly from the council's perspective, did not view this as a bike lane project. They viewed this as a traffic calming, traffic safety, improve neighborhood walkability type project. That's really where council came down on it.
Neighborhood walkability on major arteries through town?
Yes.
Really isn't an option, is it? I mean, if you're moving that kind of volume through during the 5 or 6 hours when school's in session or school's drop off, commute hours and things like that, it's kind of a bugger now.
Yeah, you know, and
this
those
kind of
traffic
choke it off even further. Isn't
yeah, and
it?
Those traffic counts were kind of in the, and they varied a little bit between H and I, but kind of that 7,000 to 8,000 cars a day.
And what is fairly, J Street?
I think J was in that 4,500. If I'm
so about
if
twice
I'm,
as much.
Yeah, if I'm kind of remembering right.
KINS News and Information Times 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, when I think of traffic challenges, I don't think of H&I. I think of Harris and I. And I still am not really clear how that goofy exchange, interchange, whatever you want to call it, what it was designed to accomplish other than causing challenge.
Yeah.
And at H at Harris, where people are sprinting across.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The merge at Wabash. Sorry, folks, this one's going to get Eureka specific. at Henderson off of H, not having the slots, so to speak, so that once you're in that lane, you don't sprint and people aren't diving in front of you going at high speed, then braking so that they can make the turn safely. Those are the types of things when I think about traffic safety and traffic movement on H&I that are far more challenging than bulb outs and bike lanes. Is that fair? Or am I just being myopic?
I would never accuse you of being myopic on your radio
program. Well, let me take my glasses off, and then you can.
But I think, you know, you always look at a number of traffic issues in the community. That's, you know, we have a citizen transportation safety committee that looks at these issues. We have our own traffic division that looks at collision rates and you know, on all these streets in terms of then, okay, these are in areas where there's problems. How do you address it? And I think we've been pretty systematically doing a number of these over the last 5 years that I'm familiar with in terms of where you have a particular traffic safety problem, of trying to solve it. In some cases, there's just plain some bad engineering design that was done at some point. And
that's what I mean. If those are that, and you go, can't do too much.
Yeah, okay, sometimes it's hard to fix bad design, or things have just changed so much, in 50 or 100 years since that initial road design.
Well, I'm thinking particularly that one block on Harris. Yep. You've got the lawn that is owned by the county at the old hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks like it's about a lane's thickness worth.
Right.
Now, there may be stuff underneath it, so I don't know. But it would seem like there would be an opportunity there for a little bit more flexibility to redesign something there so that you don't have either the rear enders or the two people sprinting coming on to H.
Yeah.
And, whoever has the biggest vroom vroom might be able to get within the three blocks, get to the exit that they want. But, like you said, greater minds than mine.
Well, the reason we're able to do some of these kind of traffic safety improvements are the various grant programs we've gone after, because it's hard to find those dollars out of current funds to deal at times with some of those types of improvements. So our staff is pretty aggressive in going after various safety improvement grants, for whether it's for traffic signals or other type of physical improvements.
And this type of stuff is really, really specific. I mean, when you do a grant, it's for...
Oh, yes.
This 300-yard stretch of XYZ.
This is the project. These are the parameters. These are the things that have been looked at. And yes.
So what happens if you save money?
If you save money.
Does it go back to whoever the source is?
Yeah, if you don't spend it all, it goes back to them. That typically doesn't happen, but it certainly could if you had some really favorable bids.
Right. So there's really no incentive to be efficient, other than to bring it in at budget.
Absolutely, because if it goes over budget, then it tends to, local dollars that we have to spend on it.
As you indicated, Eureka is really not known for planning with the streets. There's a lot
I don't know if I said that.
Well, you can say bad engineering decisions on affecting the roads. Okay. So there are some that are maintenance issues, like 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the traffic certainly is a whole lot more now than what it was when it was initially designed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. But there's this project coming in at the zoo, this walking through the trees.
Yes.
Okay. If it even has 20% tourism attraction, and I guess for this, tourism would be defined as probably a 20-mile radius instead of the 50-mile radius of people coming to see it, right now it's tough. You drop in a couple hundred more cars a day wanting to park, or a couple thousand, depending on the time of the year, or buses, that kind. What kind of plans does Public Works have? Pardon me, I know that's the old title.
Yeah.
Let's go with, okay, fine. The guys who are in charge of the roads, mm-hmm, to handle the traffic once that is in place, and you've got school, and there's still development out in Cutton, and you still got these small little roads that were designed when Cutton was grass fields.
Right. We have a fair amount of on-street parking that, and since serves the zoo, there is that no single big parking lot that it's like trees of mystery, right? Where you got, right in front there,
Thompson's have probably been there. They've been there almost as long as the zoo has been there.
Okay.
So, but yeah, they did have a little bit of property setback.
And certainly we have some plans to increase some additional parking. But it will have some impact on street parking, probably in a little greater area around the zoo than what we're currently impacting. And sort of the numbers we've looked at in terms of canopy walk, we think it will increase traffic. Certainly that's the whole goal behind a project like this, is to get more visitors to the zoo.
We'll get into the details of this when we come back. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and American Ag Credit. So during the break, Greg said he was going to defer to his department head, who will come in next week, or next month, rather, and we'll talk a little bit about the parking challenges around around the zoo and around the Kennedy Fields and the school and the garden. And I mean, it seems like that's a choke point for a lot of what's going on. And I suppose that is also the concern I've got with H&I, with the bulb outs and going from 3 to 2. It becomes a choke point. You know, people avoid 14th. Some avoid Booner also because it's only two lanes. Well, but it's two-way.
Right.
Now
right.
We got one way and we're bringing it down. And I suppose that would... That might be the next move, huh? Is to make Booner a one way and make
14th a one way. There's been no discussion about that, and certainly one of the things with H&I, we thought in the study was, you know, would they look at making that two way?
Going back to the old days.
Yeah, and that was not an option that I think is
It'd be like taking 6th and 7th back to what it was. It just doesn't lend itself to moving larger volumes of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
When there is, I'll call it a significant change, the marketplace adjusts. Okay, fair enough. With the road development that you're looking at in those changes, what monitoring is going to be going on? What flexibility do you have? What plans are there so that if this happens, if A, then C, here's our plan B?
Right, and that's why... You study these things to try to determine what are potential unintended consequences, and if the unintended consequence is it pushes 5,000 more cars on some other street that say is even less designed to take it, then that's obviously not a good option. So
but you don't step back then and redo it, do you?
You can't. Yeah, you can't just keep going. Okay, we tried that. That didn't work. You can spend a lot of money trying to fix things that don't work. So it's going to be very important to try to get it right as much as you can the first time.
And with the bulb out designs, Greg, here we are talking to your engineering again. I know your background is heavy into engineering.
Yeah, really heavy. My dad was an engineer. So.
We hire one out here, but it's a different kind.
Yeah.
With the bulb outs, as they come out, if there were no bike lanes, is there still enough space from tip to tip to restripe and go back to the three lanes if that is a decision that's made?
One of the things that council liked about that option was it could easily be changed to go back with very low cost.
Well, then you really can't – as long as that flexibility is designed in there – You can't say this is a permanent thing, and I think then that probably takes a lot of the emotion out of it. We're going to try it, see what happens. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, we'll buy a couple cans of paint, take care of it.
That's about right. I think, as you said, it was a pretty emotional debate at the council meeting. I mean, those who were against it were quite, in many cases, pretty emotional about it, and those who favored it were pretty emotional in their support for it as well. So it was...
it's nice to know people who still have some passion about some things with city government.
That's right. And it certainly brought out a full house that night.
Some of the other things that are going on around town, you've got a couple of events coming up this month, whether you're playing host to it or you're coordinating it. And you got the Cruise in Eureka activity that's going on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Next weekend, you've got the free food at Carson Park.
Carson Park with a neighborhood watch, block party. That's been a very popular event. I know we usually try to get to it every year. And
gives you somewhere to walk instead of in circles.
That's true.
Sorry. And then at the end of the month, I guess it's kind of like the informal, or is it the formal opening of the trail project? I don't know what.
Yeah, it's kind of like we kind of keep doing some things on celebrating the trail project, and this is another piece of that. One other thing, well, also because we are just now putting it together, but on September 20th, 6:30 at Wharfinger, there will be a kind of a community open house on Measure I, the 1/4 of
the
1%
sales
tax for roads.
Oh boy, that one I'm sure is going to be right up there with these others.
I'm sure you will be there.
Oh, I don't think you want me there. Many levels with the challenges associated with any of that kind of stuff. And I suppose that's the balancer. You know, you can celebrate the celebrations,
mm-hmm.
and you can have fun with some of those. But then there's also economic realities of, okay, what can we afford down the future?
Right.
It's interesting. The trails and the community, the block party, where do those funds come from? Are those more grants like you were referencing earlier, or are these general fund dollars or budget?
No, for well, certainly on the, you know, the whole, just talking about the trail system in general, that has been 100% grant funded, no general fund dollars into our trail projects over the last number of years.
All on city property? So you didn't have to acquire?
Everything where we had to do property acquisition, again, grant dollars funded the property acquisition.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the footprint? Reason I'm asking is I know there's a Senate bill going through, no, Assembly bill going through that's talking about giving a little bit of cushion on the sides of the roads to hopefully avoid some of the fire situations we've had. When the city buys effectively an easement mm-hmm. through these properties, how much further on the sides is it? And does the city then come through and maintain those immediately adjacent spots, either to cut them down or keep the weeds down, mm-hmm. so it still is appearing attractive?
Right. So there's both the easement for the trail itself, and usually then also a construction easement, which goes out wider because of, and that goes away. But then we're responsible for maintaining right adjacent to the trail, and I don't remember how many.
4 or 5 feet kind of thing?
Yeah, something of that nature.
So it'll be weed whacked and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. The block party, they've always been very good at raising funds really out of the community for, you know, in terms of getting, you know, free hot dogs and things like that. So
would have been easier if Big Loaf Bakery was still around.
Big Loaf Bakery.
Well, for the hamburger buns and the hot dog buns. I go straight to food. I don't care about jump houses.
Food brings people out to events. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. You probably have a couple politicians there, too, or wannabe politicians.
I imagine the timing of this be a very good opportunity for candidates to come and talk to people.
Maybe one whole end of the park. Kind of keep them corralled down there.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah, aren't there, though? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, some of the different cool things that are going on, we've heard rumors, what, 3 different branded restaurants are coming to town?
Right.
Well, that was less than overwhelming.
Well, you know, until they take out a building permit, you don't like to get too far ahead of yourself on some of those things.
And I don't know if those are they rumors? Are they confirmed rumors? Are they...
They're solid rumors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the location across from Harbor Lanes, though, is pretty well... The property was sold.
Yes. Yeah. And I was very happy about that because, you know, you always have some concerns that it might fall out of escrow for one reason or another. So right. That's looking pretty positive. And particularly because that was... such a problematic property over the years.
Ugly for a long time.
We're talking about the former Blue Heron property, and we continue to have, you know, kind of transient and drug use up into the, you know.
What was it? Probably, I think the 60s is when the restaurants were there, and it was normal, if you will, and things kind of started going sideways. When you see that kind of application for a restaurant on one side, you know, traffic flow is a huge issue. I mean, it is on Broadway. Now, you got the walkers going back and forth, which I still don't understand why anybody thinks that the center merge or turn lane is a safe island to stand on. That just befuddles me, and I don't think I ever will lose that one. But when these projects come in, is traffic one of those first things that you look at?
Yes, yeah, in terms of traffic and ingress and egress and whether, obviously, you know, things like this that are principally permitted and, yeah.
And that is?
Yes.
Restaurant is, yeah.
Certainly is.
Well, it'd be nice to have some of the things filled up. Maybe we get some of those retail spaces filled up, too, and get things rolling again, huh?
That is absolutely right.
All righty. Well, happy September. Enjoy all the different events. It's kind of like Eureka's Fortuna.
Imagine, is that right?
Imagine that. See everybody on Monday.